I'm going to pray for us, and you grab a Bible and a sermon outline if you wish. Heavenly Father, thank you for your great love for us. Thank you that you are in the business of restoring all things and that you have called us to share in the restoration. Lord, please open my lips and open our hearts to hear and to understand your word today and to rejoice in our partnership with you in mission and in the Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So our sermon today is about vision and leadership, and it's really about the steering wheel of the car. You might not be able to see very well here, but I do have pictures of all the parts of my Mini that have been pulled out and are currently kind of sitting around the garage. If you ask my wife, she would probably tell me that I need to clean them up, but it's all coming back together soon. So today it's about the steering wheel. And the question is for our church and for each local expression of church is who gets to set the direction? Who is behind the driver's wheel? And the answer, of course, should firmly be that Jesus is the one who gets to set the direction of the church. It's not my church in the sense that, you know, I'm the leader and I can decide where we go. It's actually Jesus' church. He's the one who is in the driver's seat. And I have used a video before, but driving a Mini is fun, right? It's designed to be a great driving experience. Well, maybe not a great driving experience, but certainly a fun driving experience. Maybe not a reliable driving experience, but certainly a fun driving experience, okay? People have said to me, if you want a reliable car, don't get a Mini, okay? So I've got a short video here just to kind of get us into the groove again of what driving a Mini is like. What that lady says is that classic cars are not meant to just be in the garage. They're not meant to just sit around looking pretty. You're actually meant to drive them and enjoy the drive. And as a church, that is true of us too. We take part in God's restoration of all things. God is restoring us and he wants to restore the world. But the reason that God restores us is not so that we can just sit around being happy Christians and looking pretty in church, but also to take part with God in the restoration of the world that he wants to do. We get to participate with Jesus in his mission to restore all things. And I said in the first sermon, you know, we may not be a large church, but with Jesus at the wheel, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. There is joy to be had in the mission of God. Our church's mission is to invite and equip all people to walk with the risen Jesus. How on earth will that happen? That is a big vision, especially when you look at that little word, all. There are a million people in southeast Melbourne who don't know Jesus. There are, I'm guessing here, but I'd guess probably 50,000 people in Pakenham who don't know Jesus. So that's actually a big vision, but it's also Jesus' vision for his church. How on earth can that happen? Of course, we don't do that alone. We participate with Jesus in his mission. But today I want to look at three aspects of how our church can join Jesus' vision for mission in this region. And that is to become or to be a healthy, mission-shaped and multiplying church. First of all, it is Jesus' vision that the church and local churches should be healthy. And to unpack this a little bit, we're going to turn to John chapter 15. So if you have your Bible, or if you have it on your phone or something like that, please turn to John chapter 15. If you have a church Bible, it is on page 1081 and 2. And this passage really describes Jesus' vision for the fruitfulness and the health of his followers and of his church. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And I'm not going to read all the way down to 16, but I'm just going to pick out some of the verses. So verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 7, Sylvia, can you read that out for us, please? If you remain in me. What an amazing promise. Jesus says that if we remain in him, we can ask whatever we wish and it will be done because our desires begin to line up with God's desires. Okay, would someone read verse 11, please? There. Okay, so Jesus wants his joy to be for us. And as we remain grounded and rooted in Jesus and in his word, we experience the joy that Jesus has. And verse 12, would someone read that one for us, please? Okay, so we could go much deeper into this passage. This is a bit of a skim reading of the passage here today. But a healthy church is first of all connected to Jesus. A healthy church is connected to Jesus. Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will bear much fruit. So first of all, everything is about staying connected to Jesus. Everything is about having his life flow through us. If you consider how a vine gives its sap and nourishment and water to the branches so that they can bear fruit, when the life of Jesus is flowing through us and we're deeply connected to his life, we can't help but be fruitful people. A healthy church is deep in the word. Now, I know that it's unusual in Lutheran churches for people to open the Bible during the sermon, which I think is a little bit sad. I am saddened by that. I'm not trying to be judgmental. I just think that as a church of the word, it's really important that we actually read God's word and takes it in. And Jesus says the same thing. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. So a healthy church will be a church where each of us individually and also together hunger for the word of God, meditate on the word of Jesus, open the Bible in our families and in our church services and in our Bible studies, and get God's word into us. We don't have the power to change ourselves, but God's word, the Bible, is the word of life, and it is the way that Jesus gets his life flowing through us. Healthy churches love one another. Otto started singing a song from probably the Green Book, right? Love one another. Is that? Yep, yep. Jesus says in John 15, verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And then in verse 17, this is my command, love each other. A healthy church is one where we recognize as members of the church that we are not disconnected from each other, but that as a community, we bear the love of God to one another in both our joys and our difficulties. Where we support one another when times are tough and we grieve when people are sad, we weep with those who weep, we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we recognize that our life as God's people cannot be separated into being an individual Christian, but where we actually love one another. Now, there's a lot I know that I'm going through very quickly here. So there is time for question at the end. So if you want to drill into something a little bit more deeply, write it down and we will look at that at the end. A healthy church obeys Jesus' commands. Healthy church obeys Jesus' commands. We are saved by grace. We are not saved by what we do in terms of obeying the commands of God, because we know that we cannot live up to God's Ten Commandments, and that we often, as Moses said to the Israelites in the first reading that Nick read to us, we often choose the way of death rather than the way of life. So we are saved by grace and forgiven completely and utterly by what God does for us through Jesus. But a healthy church will recognize that when Jesus says something, he says it for our good. He says it for our health and our life. And when Jesus commands us to do something, through his Holy Spirit, he empowers us to obey him and to choose life rather than choosing death. So a healthy church obeys Jesus' commands. A healthy church will bear much fruit. And this is a wonderful thing. And it's the fruit of the Spirit. So things like love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, you know, all those things. Goodness, gentleness, self-control. A healthy church will be showing those characteristics. But a healthy church will also bear fruit in terms of making disciples, helping people to grow closer to Jesus in their walk with him on a regular and daily basis. And a healthy church will also be seeing new people come to faith in Jesus and rejoicing with that. Healthy churches are places of healing. And that healing can come in community as our relationships are healed. It can come physically as we pray for one another. It can come emotionally and spiritually as people are brought to life with Christ. And healthy churches experience joy. You know, sometimes it is hard going in the Christian life. That is true. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. But Jesus also says, and it's here in John 15, verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus doesn't want the Christian life to be a drag. It's a challenge and it's hard work, but it's full of joy because the joy of Jesus flows over into our life as we remain connected to him. Okay, how are we going? Need to keep moving. Healthy, mission-shaped, multiplying church. It is Jesus' will and Jesus' vision that the church should be mission-shaped. What do I mean by that? Let's turn to John chapter 20, verse 19 to 21. Actually, 19 to 23. Let me see. Who's going to volunteer to read that out for us? Adrian is. I've just volunteered you, Adrian. Nice and loud. We are sent in the same way that Jesus was sent by the Father. He says in John here, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Just as the Father sent Jesus to bring forgiveness and life and restoration to the world, so Jesus sends us and empowers us with the Holy Spirit on God's mission, not our mission, to bring life and restoration and healing and forgiveness to the world. A mission-shaped church has a conviction that it's not all about us. That when we gather for worship or when we live our life during the week as God's people, that it's actually not just about this group of people or just about me. A mission-shaped church has a conviction that we join Jesus in the mission of restoring all things. A mission-shaped church has a conviction that the good news of Jesus is far too good to keep to ourselves. It's good news for everybody, not just me. And a mission-shaped church has an intentionality about evangelism. Reasonably quickly here, But a mission-shaped church prays how Jesus prayed, has a prayer life that is shaped by the Lord's Prayer, including your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven, has a prayer life that is begging God to show his love to those who are lost and to bring healing and hope to those who are broken, like Jesus himself did. A mission-shaped church is hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. If we turn quickly to Acts chapter 13, this is a really intriguing little passage. Acts chapter 13, verse 2 and 3. And this is about the early church, and there is a group of leaders and prophets and teachers who are in Jerusalem. And it says this in verse 2. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And then verse 4 is really interesting too, isn't it? The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. You see, the church sends them, but they're sent by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, set them apart, and then the church sets them apart. And the church is hearing the voice of the Spirit in terms of sending people in mission. And as a church, we are learning, and this is a good thing, we are learning and we need to keep learning to hear the voice of the Spirit as the Spirit empowers us in God's mission. A mission-shaped church is intentional about sharing the good news, and we will indeed build in training and equipping for ordinary everyday Christians to help them, to help you and me to share the good news. And that might happen in families. It might happen in our friendships or our work environments, wherever we are sent by Jesus. And a mission-shaped church also gives resources to mission. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this next week, and I've got a sermon about gifts and generosity and finances. But a mission-shaped church will be giving outside of itself for the wider mission of God in the world. And part of what we want to build into our church as God helps us to grow is that a proportion of our local offerings will be going to spreading the good news of Jesus elsewhere, not just to paying the costs of this local church. Once again, a mission-shaped church knows that it's not all about us. There are many, many people that God wants to reach with his news of forgiveness and healing and salvation. And we join God as he does that. So we don't come to worship to consume and go, oh, well, that was nice. Now I'm nice and full of God's word, so I can go and have a peaceful week. We come so that we can be filled in order to give also to others. Okay, number three, healthy, mission-shaped, multiplying church. It is Jesus' vision that the church should be multiplying. Many, many times Jesus uses parables and images of the kingdom of God which have multiplication at their heart. And I could look at heaps of Bible verses, but a good one is, for instance, the parable of the sower. Mark, it's in Matthew, Mark and Luke, but we'll look at the Mark passage. Mark 4, Jesus talks about this parable. He talks about a man who goes out and plants seed. He sows the seed everywhere. Mark 4, verse 8. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. In Jesus' vision, a healthy church is a multiplying church. Now, what does it mean to be multiplying? Jesus also talks, as I said before, in John 15, about bearing much fruit. And he says, it is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. It is to God's glory that our church becomes a multiplying church and bears much fruit. Several things. In a multiplying church, disciples make disciples. So followers of Jesus help other people to walk on the road with Jesus and to follow him more closely. That's all of us who are called and commissioned by Jesus to do that. And some of us feel very ill-equipped to do that. I understand. But we have the power of the Holy Spirit at work helping us to help others to walk with Jesus. And that will happen in both big and small ways, in simple and more intentional ways, within our families, or as we pray for people, or as we help people to understand more of God's word. It will happen in multiple different ways. In a multiplying church, leaders reproduce leaders. Now, I'm not going to get you to turn to this passage, but in 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul says something very similar to this to Pastor Timothy. He says, "What I have passed on to you, entrust to reliable people who will be able to teach others." Right? What I have passed on to you, entrust to reliable people who will be able to teach others. How many generations of leaders are there in that one short sentence? You've heard this before, haven't you? No? There's four. There's Paul. And he says, Timothy, you're the second generation. What I have passed on to you, entrust to reliable people who will what? Be equipped to teach others. So in the church and in a healthy multiplying church, every part of leadership will have built into its DNA, apprentice someone who can do your job for you. Okay, so Gary, part of what you are called to do as a musician is to find and encourage and evoke the gifts of other musicians who can then also learn how to lead worship. Kathy, as a person who has a gift of hospitality, part of your call is to also keep your eyes out for the other people who have a gift of hospitality, and I don't think you'll have too much trouble finding them, and say, hey, let's learn together how to do this so that you can do it as well or even better than me. Can you see how that works at every level? Mark, as a person who has the gift of helping, Mark often comes to move tables and set up the chairs for us, right? So if you're sitting in a chair this morning rather than at a student desk in a U-shape, it's partly because Mark was here and came to help. A wonderful gift. Mark, part of your call in terms of helping to set up the worship space is to keep your eye out for other people like Javier, wherever he's gone, and to raise them up and to help them also to do that. Do you see what I'm saying here? Built into our DNA needs to be a multiplying leaders reproduce leaders model. So we multiply ministry at every level. A multiplying church is bearing much fruit, and that is to God's glory. God the Father rejoices when a church, a local church, is healthy and mission-shaped and multiplying and bearing much fruit because it glorifies our Heavenly Father. So, how will this happen? What is our vision for our church? It might be a really interesting question for you, or maybe you're here for the first or second time, or you're a visitor and you think, well, you know, I don't really need to think about that too much because it's not my church. But the vision for the church should definitely be that Jesus is in the driver's seat, that he is taking us for a ride. Sometimes it's going to be a scary ride. I think if you're in a Mini that's being driven very hard, you will sometimes probably squeal with terror, as my children did when I first took them for a drive in my Mini in Tasmania. It was 5 years ago, but still, there was quite a bit of going on as I kind of fanged the Mini around the corners, and that will happen for us too. But the vision is that Jesus is in the driver's seat, that he gets to decide the shape of the church and where and how we go with him in mission, so that we can be the church that he wants us to be. And that's my prayer for us, that we'll be listening to Jesus, listening to the voice of the Spirit, empowered by the gospel, and intentional about sharing the good news with others. In Jesus' name, amen.